say what? Ho, this is Brian. Call me your lucky charm, dressed up in Love Gardener, coming to you from Ramblon Towers Dungeon Studio in scenic Casper, Ontario, and you are listening to Ramblon Radio, episode number 65. Ramblon Radio is the only dedicated Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to RamblonRadio.com for your Led Zeppelin news, any links I might mention during the show, etc. You can subscribe to Ramblon Radio through iTunes. You go to iTunes, drop a little review, give a star, give 3 stars, give 5 stars. Everybody's been giving 5 stars. Thank you for that. But do so. It helps with the placement of the podcast within the iTunes hierarchy. Listen on Spreaker. Be sure to follow Ramblon Radio on Spreaker. Same issue. Helps with placement. And check out Ramblon Radio on YouTube, where I am taping this tonight on a little tiny camera. It's actually a Tim Hortons camera. I talked about Tim Hortons. My daughter works at Tim Hortons for a while. He even says Tim Hortons on it. I'll have to take a picture of it and show you guys on Facebook. But anyway, follow Ramblon Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramblon Blog on Twitter. I try to respond to people. You can also email me, ramblon@briangardner.ca. But again, I do try to respond. I do try to be back and forthish. I guess that's the right word, right? Anyway, had a plan this week. Oh, I had a plan. But plans change, and sometimes you have to roll with it, baby, like you're a Steve Winwood podcaster. That's what has to happen. This week was Led Zeppelin 3 week. I was looking forward to it. Led Zeppelin 3. I have right here, I have the music book Led Zeppelin 3. Which you can see on YouTube, by the way. Learning some of the songs on the guitar, and like learning them proper. No, not the way I learned them many, many years ago. It was always a favorite album. It was certainly from a guitar player perspective when I was a teenager. I fell in love with Led Zeppelin through Led Zeppelin 3. I was so mesmerized with the guitar playing in Led Zeppelin 3. So it's a big one to me. And I was really looking forward to this week and talking about it, and we're going to do that next week. That's all. We had to roll with it, like I say. In the end, real world happened. Real world things happened in the Led Zeppelin world. And it'll wait a week. I didn't want to get too behind the curve, is what happens. I realized, by the time I was doing last week's podcast, I kind of realized Robert Plant was touring. John Paul Jones was touring. Jason Bonham was touring. And I wasn't talking about any of that. And then this week, Robert Plant dropped a new song from his new album on us. Actually dropped two, really, when you think about it. One is a single. Another one's available on YouTube. Plus, if you go to iTunes, you can hear like a minute and 30 seconds of three others. I'll discuss all that. But that's basically those three things are happening. And I thought I didn't want to wait another week and then, you know, basically talking about everything in the past tense. This is happening now. Led Zeppelin 3's 40 years old. The remasters will be out for a while. They'll still be on sale next week. So it'll just give me a chance to be on top of these subjects as they're hitting. And this is going to be like an old school. We're going old school tonight, back to the days before I did the weekly podcast when it was a whenever I could podcast. Probably about 20 or 30 episodes ago, where I used to rhyme off Jimmy Page, Jason Bonham, and so and so did this, so and so did so and so did that. It's gonna be one of those style because we had a little of everything, a little of everybody, although not much Jimmy. There's been a few interviews, but I haven't really read them, and I don't get the information I'm getting is not that he's saying anything spectacularly new. But he did, 30 years ago this week, June 24, 1984, he played, kind of in public for the first time, with Yes. He was in, Germany, I think it was. And they played The Beatles, I'm Gone, and, one of the magazines, Classic Rock, I think. One of the websites, magazines slash whatever, did a story on it this week, along with a video that had the song. It was like an 8-minute version of the song. And truthfully, it wasn't. It was sloppy. Yes was a complicated band. Jimmy Page is a all-over-the-place guitar player sometimes, and they're playing a very basic song, you know? So it was maybe a little out of context for everybody. Jimmy was probably a little out of practice. It was, you know, he was trying to get back into playing at the time. Don't gather that he was playing much at the time. And it's a lousy recording. It's a, you know, 1984, somebody in the audience recording, which is to say lousy. So, but it's out there. If you want to look for it, it's out there. Like I said, one of the magazines. But if you just Google Jimmy Page, Yes, June 24, 1984, Jimmy Page, Yes, I'm Gone, that sort of thing. Jimmy Page, Yes, the Beatles, probably. It'll come. Yeah, it's all right. It's an interesting thing, right? And it brings Jimmy Page into the conversation here. Okay, I'm going to go to Jason Bonham I'm skipping over my notes, but Jason Bonham is playing with Heart. Now, this isn't like last year when Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience opened for Heart, then Heart did their set, then Jason Bonham came out for a 3-song or 4-song encore. What they're doing is they're doing a set of Heart songs and then a set of Led Zeppelin songs. It was actually 14 Heart songs, including Barracuda, Heartless, Babe Lestrange, Kick It Out, Even Up, Straight On, Let Me Roll It, These Dreams, Crazy On You, Let Me Roll It, I'm thinking it's the Paul McCartney. And I mean, they, you know, but the Heart show, it was 14 songs long. And then 8 Led Zeppelin songs after an intermission. They did an intermission, then came back out for 8 Led Zeppelin songs. Jason Bonham was on drums with them for the 8 Led Zeppelin. I think they're still doing it. I've been trying to look up the... Here we go. It's a Canadian tour, by the way. My notes are from the first one. I didn't realize that even. It was Montreal on June 14th, Quebec June 15th, Oshawa June 17th, Ottawa June 18th. Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. That would have been good, actually. Sault Ste. Marie's a small area. That might have been a good place to go. I should have gone up there. But that was on the 20th. 22nd was Winnipeg. 23rd was Regina. 24th, Edmonton. 26th, Calgary. And this is the 26th. So tonight they're in Calgary. Friday, 28th in Kelowna, BC. And the 29th, Saturday night in Victoria. So that's a 2-week tour, basically. And so Jason is doing the drums for the Led Zeppelin part. That's all that's happening. Tony Catania's not with them. Nobody came out with them. Just Jason on drums for the Led Zeppelin part. The Led Zeppelin part, this is Montreal. Now, as you heard, there's a number. That was the first show, so it may have changed. But Montreal, it went Battle of Evermore, which wouldn't have included Jason, right? And then Four Sticks, No Quarter, The Ocean, Immigrant Song, Kashmir, The Rain Song, and then guess what they ended with? Guess what the end of the night with? Yeah, Stairway to Heaven. They did the Kennedy Center version. They had the Quebec Celebration Gospel Choir joined them. So, you know, the Rain Song, Stairway to Heaven, really not asking Jason to step out there, are you? But I guess Kashmir. Yeah, Four Sticks, too. Four Sticks is hard. Bang, yeah, he knows all these songs pretty well, right? Is No Quarter a big drawing? Like, I know the keyboard guys, and from a guitar perspective, No Quarter is always an interesting song. Is it a drum song? I think it has some interesting drum bits too, doesn't it? But anyway, that's what they're doing. No encore, by the way. Apparently, fans were not pleased in Montreal at no encore. It ended with Stairway to Heaven. That was it. Good night, Montreal. We'll see you. Jason Bonham has left the building. So if you're going to see Heart in the next couple of days, that's basically what you're going to see with Jason Bonham on drums. Now we're doing 10 minutes in. This is going to be a quick one, I think. Yeah, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And then there's John Paul Jones. John Paul Jones is currently touring again with Dave Rawlings' Machine, June 18th to the 27th. This is the 26th, so he ends. So Jason's the 14th to the 29th, 1827, Jason Bonham with the Dave Rawlings Machine. They did about five shows, I think it is. It's not a big chunk of shows. Last Wednesday to this Friday is what it is. So this must be Thursday. So that must be Saturday, Sunday are the last shows, by the way, for Jason Bonham. Not Friday, Saturday. This is Thursday already. Nice. Week's almost over. So here's the set list from the 20th. The Monkey and the Engineer. It's a Jesse Fuller cover. Jesse Fuller, I believe, is in the band. Hot Corn, Cold Corn. Keep It Clean, Charlie Jordan cover. And Charlie Jordan may be in the band. You got to be watching for this stuff. Charlie Jordan, I'm not sure. Gillian Welsh cover, Wayside. Gillian Welsh is definitely in the band. Bells of Harlem, It's Easy. Ruby, He Will Set Your Fields on Fire. Bill Monroe cover. Bill Monroe is definitely not in the band. I'm just saying. There was one of these songs was also a Gillian Welsh / Alison Krauss song. And I thought I wrote it out. It may be Ruby. Maybe Bells of Harlem, It's Too Easy as well. Sweet Tooth, I Hear Them All, This Land Is Your Land, The Midnight Special, Method Acting, Cortez the Killer, the Neil Young cover, Queen Jane Approximately, a Bob Dylan cover, and Going to California. That would be a Led Zeppelin cover, for those who don't know. And if you don't know that, why are you downloading a Led Zeppelin podcast? This is the information I need to know. So, basically, John Paul Jones is playing mandolin through the set, same as last year, as far as I can gather, anyway. I haven't heard that he's picked up the trombone or anything like that. He's a mandolin player in the band, basically. And definitely Gillian Welsh. I almost positive Jesse Fuller. I don't know who else is in the band. But so Jesse Fuller would have sang the Jesse Fuller song. Gillian Welsh would have sang the Gillian Welsh song. The set list, mysetlist.com or whatever it is, calls them a Gillian Welsh cover, but it's not really as she's in the band. This actually led me to an interesting thought. We all pine for a Led Zeppelin reunion, for Jimmy Page and Robert Plant to do something. I talked last week about maybe Jimmy Page should just go out with John Paul Jones, call it the Led Zeppelin, was it last week? A couple of weeks ago. Call it like, Jimmy Page and John Paul Jones presents the music of Led Zeppelin, something like that. Or Jimmy Page go out with Jason Bonham, but go out with one other guy, not two other guys, I guess was my point there. But we don't think about this side of it. What if John Paul Jones and Robert Plant went out together and did like bluegrass songs? I wouldn't go, would you? But I bet you lots would. And they could do like Going to California, Black Country Woman, that sort of thing, right? I thought of that for two reasons. Because one of the songs in this is a Gillian Welsh / Alison Krauss cover. And Robert's obviously played with Alison Krauss. So they had that in common. And He Will Set Your Fields on Fire is a Bill Monroe cover. And one of the songs Robert Plant is doing in his new album, one of the ones he popped out onto YouTube this week. I'm thinking this new YouTube video on my it was a gift to my daughter camera from Tim Hortons, that cost about $12. I'm thinking mine will outpace Robert's YouTube video of Little Maggie. Just a guess. At least here in the US where they haven't made it available. Hey, I got a chance on that one. I got a chance. Little Maggie is... Well, Little Maggie's an old song. It's been around 100 years. And I have notes. I wrote a longish article on ramblonradio.com. It's probably the first article up about the new songs. And I point out... it opens with Little Maggie. Its genesis traced back to early as 100 years ago. The traditional tune archive, according to them, fiddler Tommy Jarrell remembers hearing the song in North Carolina, 1912 or 1913, around that era. So it's a traditional song that at least goes back that far. Bill Monroe, I read somewhere, somebody gave Bill Monroe credit for writing it. Bill Monroe would not have written the song if it was being heard 100 years ago in the hills of North Carolina. He would have been, I'm going to say six. I think he was born in 1906. And no, I don't have a solid memory for this stuff. I don't. I'm not a big Bill Monroe freak. I was looking it all up for this article and just happened to make note of because that's the thought. I saw that he had written it. Somebody saying he'd written it, and I noticed that. Well, he'd be about six, so maybe not. So no, don't start emailing me your bluegrass questions, figuring I'm an expert. I'm not. The song was covered by Bill Monroe, Ricky Skaggs, Bob Dylan, the Stanley Brothers, Kingston Trio, and others. It was considered, in the 60s folk era, Bob Dylan, Peter Paul and Mary, that sort of stuff. It was considered core repertoire. There was a number of songs, This Land Is Your Land, that sort of thing, were all considered songs that folk singers sang, right? These core repertoire songs. And Little Maggie was one. Plant has picked it up. He's doing it, and they kind of twist it a bit. It's a bit Celtic. It's a weird thing. It's got a Celtic feel to it, but the Celtic stuff is the fiddle. They have fiddles and whistles come in, but they seem to be slightly pulled out of tune, and therefore giving it a bit of an Indian feel. And don't take that as a bitch slap against Indian music or the Celtic fiddle player that Robert Plant got. I don't mean that. I mean, they've done it intentionally. And Indian music has, we listen here in the Western world, we listen in tones, half tones. If you go from white key to white key, C to D, for instance, on a piano, D to D sharp, whatever, one key to the next key, that is half a tone. That is the smallest tonal distance in Western music. It is so because Pythagoras said it is so, but that is it. In a lot of Eastern music, they get into smaller tones. It's why a lot of Eastern music sounds funny to Western ears. If you get used to this kind of half-tone music, somebody plays such like quarter tones, it becomes very dissonant sounding. Dissonance is specifically the word that you're looking for there. That's an intentional. Dissonance is an intentional out of tunishness or an intentional doesn't sound harmonious. So what they've done in this is they've given it that feel of dissonance, and it gives it a bit of an Indian feel. Has a bit of a Celtic feel. It's a different feel. I listened to 4 or 5 versions of Little Maggie, and it's very different than all the rest. And yet it's the same song. It's, similar to the rest. He definitely pulled the Bill Monroe version of the lyrics. Most of the lyrics are very similar, but moved around. And Plant has moved them into his own special zone as well. But very close to the Bill Monroe. Very close. That's Little Maggie. Little Maggie's the first song on the album. It's not been released as a single, as far as I know. It's possible they released it in Europe, but it doesn't seem to be the case. But they did release it as a video on YouTube specifically for the European market. Little Maggie's also the first song he premiered off the album live. He did that in New Orleans a couple of months ago. Maybe six. As a matter of fact, I think I played it on this here podcast 5 or 6 episodes ago, maybe. YouTube guys, see what the cup is? Can you see it? Ahmet Erdogan tribute concert. I noticed this week that Ross Halfin was complaining about concert shirts. He was saying, what the hell's going on in this world of concert shirts? Why does nobody make a decent looking concert shirt anymore? And I would say, talk to the guys at the Ahmet Erdogan tribute concert, because they had one shirt available and it really was crap. Not that I didn't buy one, not that you wouldn't notice it walking down, you'd notice me walking down the street with it, because it's the only one they made and because it is fairly unique in that it was all black with kind of orange to reddish lettering, different variations of it with everybody's name on it. So Ross Start with asking your buddy Jimmy, what the hell was with the 2007 O2 t-shirts? Just saying. Just a sidebar. Just a sidebar, because I don't want to fall too far under half an hour for this. Nah, we're not going to do that. We're over 20 minutes already. I was thinking that the John Paul Jones and Robert would have a similarity in that. They've both done the bluegrass music quite a bit. Robert seems to have gone into the bluegrass field, and he actually seems to be, and this is something I'm going to talk about a bit in a minute, but seems to be falling into the Celtic English side of things now. But wouldn't it be a neat idea for them to come out and then say, no, we're not really going to do the Led Zeppelin. Don't want to be a jukebox, quote unquote. But they wouldn't have, like, say, going to California, they both play it, you know, Black Country Woman, Gallows Pole, right? Sorry, guys, that's all we're doing for Led Zeppelin songs. So be upfront about that. And then the rest will be, you could do songs off the Alison Krauss album, you could do songs off Robert's new albums, you could do some stuff off John Paul Jones' album, you could do some of these sorts of songs. And maybe you could get old Dave Rollins to come out and do it with you. You think? So that's I guess what I was... Yeah, I guess that's where I wanted to go on that. So then back to Robert. So I'm talking about the little Maggie and the Indian / Celtic. Now, he sings in... I'm going to jump a bit here. He does three songs that they offer on iTunes and probably on Amazon, probably on other download locations. Clips of the songs from the album. Pocket Full of Golden, Turn It Up, Somebody There. Turn It Up was... The clip of it was, he was rocking, he was riding into it fairly hard. And then there's this really wildish kind of solo. So it sounds good. And then he kind of comes out like it's, Tin Pan Valley, I think it was. Yes, Tin Pan Valley is Lost Inside America, I'm Turning Inside Out. But he sings this line about, I'm lost inside America and I'm turning inside out. I'm turning into someone else I heard so much about. I'm blinded by the neon, the rights and the might. I'm stuck inside the radio, and then that's where it fades out. You know. And by the way, I pulled this clip. Grabbed it. I screen grabbed the clip. And I was gonna start the podcast with it. I was going to roll it as my intro. And I still think I talked to the Robert Plant people, or I emailed them and said, hey, I want to do some stuff on the album and whatnot. And they, in typical fashion, absolutely did not get back to me. So I'm thinking, you know, you don't want to play clips off the album. But I'm thinking, well, they don't give a rat's ass what I do, so why don't I just do what I do? But I've decided not to, and come next Tuesday, I could change my mind, and too late. Before I go to bed tonight, I could change my mind and outro with it, but I don't think I'm going to outro on you. I don't think I'm going to do it. Turn It Up, Turn It Up is really good. From the solo out was kind of an interesting line. So I think Robert's left America... we don't talk much about this. We haven't heard much about this. But he seems to have left America behind. He seems to have split with Patty Griffith. That's almost assuredly she's there on the outs, right? That seems to have split. And he seems to have left America. And he seems to be being very British these days. And he sounds like... I heard another quote somewhere, and I forget what it was, but something about roaming around his old country. And sounds like he's turning into the English guy again, a bit. So that is, he's almost in a way the guy who in 1970 went to Bronwyn, discovered the ancient history of the, you know, and was writing about that stuff. Not that I think he'll start writing about hobbits and Vikings. You could hope. You know, you could hope. He made it interesting. Very few people could write about that stuff and make it interesting. He can. Could, anyway. But I think he's almost in that kind of a mindset now, and the music is reflecting that a bit. But that was an interesting song, Turn It Up. And the way he worked, think of that when you hear Little Maggie, that the Celtic twist they've put on it, and is taking an American song and making it very British and kind of Indian, and then think about that line about turning into someone else I heard so much about, Lost Inside America. Because it's almost what he did to Little Maggie's, turned it inside out. So that was interesting. Second song that he did release as a single, here in the Americas for sure, I'm guessing in Britain. It's also on YouTube. I'm guessing, and look, I got Little Maggie. If you're in Britain and they're not making Rainbow available, just try harder. It's out there, I'm sure. I found Little Maggie. I've got a copy of it. I got it under my computer as an MP3. You know, so I could listen, and I did. I listened to it 4 or 5 times, so I could reasonably talk about it. So Rainbow's poppy, and it's got a bit of an edge to it, and it's not. I almost want to compare it to Angel Dance, but I not quite. Not the same, not a comparison. I mean, not it's not that good, or it's not. Oh no, but that's better. It's just not. It's not really the same. But you know, same kind of tempo, and it is a pop song, and it is a bit infectious. So it's got a hook. You know, it's got a vocal hook. It's got a melodic look, hook. And Plant is extending his voice a little more than he has in recent. You know, most songs he's kind of within a very very small range of notes. He's gone outside of that range, and now he's not doing, he's not in the Star Spangled Banner range or anything like that. And in case you don't know, professional singers will tell you Star Spangled Banner is the hardest song to sing. It starts off very low. And I think it's the second note. Oh, say, can you? The second note, that say, it's like a B flat or something. And then, but by the end, it's way up here. It's about 2.5 octaves higher. It's a C or something like it, or a D or something up. Depending, of course, on key, blah, blah, et cetera. But I think it's Land of the Free. The Free is way, it's like 2 octaves higher than that second note. So for a singer, it climbs each way. But it's very hard. And most national anthems kind of are within a very narrow range because you know, people stand in hockey games and mumble them. Here in Canada, that's what we do. I don't know what you do in your country. But yeah, because you want people to just be able to sing them. They want to put their hand on their heart or whatever and stand up and sing it. And so you need to keep it simple. That tends to be the case with national anthems. It's not with the Star Spangled Banner. So that's all I was getting at. He's not Star Spangled Banner range. He's more like, he's... You know, the Marseille or something. He's in that kind of range, but he's stepped outside the range of a fairly small, tight box of notes that he has tended towards in the last while. And I liked Rainbow a lot, actually. I'm not gonna say I kind of joked on RambleOnRadio.com that Slate Magazine called it some of Plant's best work in years. Now, I threw on the Band of Joy album, just to kind of, I listened to this 3 or 4 times, then I listened to Little Maggie, and then I threw on Band of Joy. And I really liked the first 3 or 4 songs in Band of Joy. Band of Joy's funny, eh? You're going along going, I really like this, and then it seems to really fall off. But what I noticed was, Satan, Your Kingdom Must Come Down comes on, and I'm still going, huh? It's still the fall off. But I really like Satan and Your Kingdom Must Come Down. I've listened to it a number of times outside of the album. I've listened to it, well, it's theme song for the movie Boss, or the TV show Boss. If you haven't seen it, it's recommended. And you find, you go, oh, it's a really effective song. And you know, so I have it on my iPod. And every time, once in a while, it comes up in a playlist or something. And it's great. But then listen to it within the Band of Joy. It's kind of... So I think it's not that it's not good songs on the Band of Joy. I think it's... And I did find this when I listened to the album. If I put on a side of the album, pick a side, any side, I like it. But run the whole thing all the way through. So three or four songs, and then you're kind of going, oh, I've kind of heard this before. Your ears just settled into it, and it becomes very blah, I think, is what happens more than those first three or four songs are really good songs. That's my take. You know, that's kind of my impression of that album. But anyway, I wouldn't say Rainbow's is best in years. I thought, I wonder if I have it up. Oh, let's see if I can find it. Let's see if I can get it really fast. JKLMNOPQR, the Band of Joy, Angel, I think it was, yeah, House of Cards and Central 209, I really liked. And then you start, it just, yeah, it starts sounding, you know, Cindy, Something About Mary is a nice enough song, but, I say, Satan, Your Kingdom Will Come Down is a really good song, but, doesn't work that way, you know. It within the album, it doesn't work. As much anyway, it doesn't work as much. So, yeah, but Rainbow's good, and it belongs in those first couple of songs, then, for sure. It's not way better than anything on Band of Joy, but it's not way outside of their Band of Joy was so much better. I would say it belongs in those songs. And yeah, it may become a favorite of his later work. I whistled past that a bit, didn't I? Just a little, I whistled past that point. But, hey look, it's not Led Zeppelin, you know? He can't sing like that anymore. Don't go buy in the Robert Plant album if you really want Led Zeppelin. It's not going to be, and it's going to be a disappointment. It just is. You have to understand what Robert Plant is nowadays, and what he's trying to do, which he's trying to do is have some fun. He's trying to keep it going, for the sake of that's what he likes to do. You know, some guys try to keep going for the money. Some guys try to keep going for the sake of keep it because they don't know what else to do. I think Robert Plant really just enjoys doing this. I think he enjoys the camaraderie of a band. Anyway, the other songs were Pocket Full of Golden, which is a ballad, very pulled back. Now we're talking of the Band of Joy style with a small little box of notes. But it was a nice-ish song. Somebody There, it was another little pop, and I thought had a really infectious melody. And I note when I wrote on this on the Ramble On Radio, it's the kind of song I like a lot. I find it just had a feel that I like. A kind of song I kind of feel irresistible. And I said, it may turn out in time to be one I like a lot. May is the emphasis word. But not yet. Not on this short clip. Over time, I might decide Somebody There is a really good song. So, the bottom line is, what we've got from this album is promising. But he's given us two songs and clips of three songs, and we're standing same, promising it's an 11-song album. The other eight songs, or whatever it is, could be rancid crap. You don't know. But that said, hey, I bought it. I couldn't resist that I bought it. Bought the album plus CD, and I don't know what the hell I'll do with the CD. Maybe I'll give it away at the show, because I have no interest. Get the album plus CD plus a digital download. And plus an art print or something, which maybe I'll give away at the show. And we'll see. We'll see how that looks like. And that was $40. Now I got Those of you who think I make a pile of money off this thing, off the blog, I got my second $100 check from Google in something like 5 years for Google Ads. Hey, if you see something on the website that you like, on the Google Ads, click on it, and you're going to buy it for that. And it does drop money in my account occasionally. So I was sitting with this $100, and my feeling is that's money that goes back into somehow or another the show. So it's kind of sitting in my PayPal account. And it's one I bought the Led Zeppelin 1 and Led Zeppelin 2 CDs with. And you'll notice I'm frugal with the money I get from the blogs. I mentioned, go back to the last podcast if you don't know what I'm talking about. I worked very hard to save $2. But yeah, so I used that money as well to buy this album. It just seemed like it's a should do. I have no, this, if you're thinking, oh, maybe they'll send you a review copy, Brian, this is how confident I am they're sending me a review copy. Dropped $40 on the day it was available to buy the album. I have no confidence that I will ever get a review copy of this album. Which is all right, you know, frees up my hands to hate the thing and say so, right? If I don't mean that snippy, right? You know, but that's honest. If they send me a review copy, I feel a lot worse anyway if I sat here and said, oh, it's awful. Now, I sort of did that with California Breed. I didn't say it was awful, and it wasn't awful, but it wasn't as good as I hoped it would be. And it certainly wasn't as good as the Black Country Community, and they did send a review, so I'll do it. I'll say I don't like this. I'll tell you a secret, though. When they send you this stuff, they say, if you write about it, please send me a link. I didn't send the California Breed guys a link. I didn't do it. Talk about chicken. Eh? I'm a chicken shit. He's chicken. He's chicken. Anyway, so that's all we got tonight. That's lots. Some stuff to chew on there about everybody. If you've been out to any of the shows, if you saw Hart and Jason Bonham, if you saw John Paul Jones with Dave Rawlings, if you've been seeing, I should have mentioned, Robert Plant's been touring Europe, added a bunch of dates for the fall for England and Ireland as well. And I meant to mention that. I don't have the tour dates. I thought I had written them down. I really did. But they're not here. But don't worry about it. He's touring around England right now, and he finishes off again. He finishes off like this weekend in Glastonbury, I think. So this is why I wanted to get it out this week, because next week everybody's gone home, and I said, "Oh, this is going on. I hope you all missed it." But if you didn't miss it, if you saw any one of the three acts, three things. I have a funny feeling this is going to be like the 5 D's of dodgeball. Dodge is going to be in there twice. Three things. Email me. Let me know how it was, what you thought of it, what you saw, like, didn't like. B, send pictures. If you send me some pictures, I'll put them on Facebook for sure. Or put them on the Facebook. Let's say there's my three. So I don't do dodge. It's not going to be duck, dodge, and dodge, right? But yeah, send me some pictures. I'll put them on the blog. I'll put them on Ramble on Radio with a little post about what you thought of the show. And post the pictures on Facebook, post them on Twitter. I'll retweet them, or if you post them on the Ramble on Radio Facebook page, everybody gets a chance to see them. Let us know as well what you thought. Excuse my friends who don't realize I do this at this time of night or at any other time of night. Yeah, do those three things, or one of those three things, if you saw them. I'd love to hear. Bottom line, I want to hear, how were they? How was Robert? How was John Paul Jones? How was Jason? If you saw Jimmy Page in 1983 with Yes, I'd love to hear that. You got pictures? I really would like to see that. But yeah, anybody's got pictures, send them along. Maybe we'll make something happen on a post, or at least the Facebook page. We can lighten it up for a few days. And other than that, that is all we have to talk about tonight. So thank you for listening. That's it for Ramble on Radio, episode number 65. The big 6-5. We are two-thirds of the way. Next one's 66. We're two-thirds of the way to the evil number, to the number of the beast. Two-thirds of the way. Figure that one out. All your math guys are going, what's he talking about? Two sixes out of three. That's what I'm talking about. Check RambleOnRadio.com for notes on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news and reviews, and any links mentioned in today's podcast. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. Leave a review. Leave a star. Leave two stars. Leave five stars. I left four myself because mother taught me not to be boastful, so I didn't leave five. Listen on Spreaker. Be sure to follow Ramble On Radio on Spreaker. Just give me a follow. If I can get that number up quite high, then I can apply to iHeartRadio, and maybe they'll actually care this time. And check it out, Ramble On Radio on YouTube. Apparently, it's also turning up on I Am Brian Dammit on YouTube, but that's just the audio. This is the video is actually on YouTube. You will see the Emmett Erdogan mug and that sort of thing. You will see my Chelsea shirt because the World Cup is on, and I've got my Chelsea shirt. I'm not a big soccer fan, by the way, so I've been following. I've been checking the paper every day. I can't tell how Chelsea is actually doing in the World Cup, but England's not doing well, and Russia didn't do well, and Chelsea's one of the two. They're either English or Russian. They're owned by a Russian. They're in England, right? But there you can see my nice Chelsea shirt. You can see the Dungeon Studio, and I should do this for you guys, right? There's the dungeon, and I have shown this around before a bit. So there you go on YouTube. Look at the picture of the kid on the wall. That's me. See the picture of that's from Get the Light Out, Jimmy Marciano, signed by Jimmy. I took that picture myself. My then Crooked Vulture's clock. And it doesn't work, so I have no idea what time it actually is. There's the dungeon. It actually is a little dungeonish place. Anyway, that's it. Thank you for listening. Ramble On Radio, episode 65. Keep it cool and babies.
Switch off the internet.